Well, Anna Marie, in the past, we've talked a little bit about your story with your father and what happened there. And so people can listen to past podcasts and listen about that. But for some reason, we always seem to come back to father. I was at a conference where a lady won an award for alumni of the year, and she kept calling him Papa as she was preaching or teaching. She was sharing about the fact that he meant this to her, and Papa did this, and Papa did that. And so you saw an intimacy with her relationship with her father. And so what did you want to talk about today when it comes to the Father, the Heavenly Father?
Well, yeah, I do want to talk specifically about the Heavenly Father, because we know that our earthly fathers are, have missed the mark. The best fathers, are, they have made mistakes. And God covers our mistakes. It's the beauty of mercy, and God is a merciful Father. But regardless, of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, it could be a good one, or it could be toxic. We have a Heavenly Father that truly, he is he that sustains us. It is he that gives us breath. So comparing your Heavenly Father and your earthly father, well, again, there's misunderstandings of both. We misunderstand our earthly father in some things. We misunderstand our heavenly father in some things. So my goal, is to introduce God the Father, Abba, Daddy, to every single person, because he is their father, but they don't know him intimately to call him Daddy, my Daddy, my Abba. And so how do we get to know God as Father? That's the big question, because we are all a little bit disappointed in our experiences with our earthly father. And it's so easy to transfer that disappointment of our earthly fathers to God the Father. And Israel did that marvelously. They really got the big award for misunderstanding God, to the point that in the entire Old Testament, I think the word father is mentioned less than a dozen times, if not many. Where in the New Testament, it's mentioned, close to 100 times, or 80 sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost like God was trying to introduce that concept. They weren't getting it. And then finally, he had to send his son to do that.
Exactly. And so when we go to John 1, and I love the first chapter of almost every book of the Bible, because it kind of puts it right up front there what the problem is that Jesus is wanting to restore. And it ends with, it ends with Malachi, where the last prophet, where it says that I will send, my spirit, I will send a prophet that is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So this comes first, just in case we don't get the order right. It's not the hearts of the children to the father. And yet we constantly hear conversations like, "You have to straighten up." See,
So the father takes the initiative.
The father takes the initiative as God took the initiative. See, we're created in his image, in his likeness, and we work best when we, follow the design of God's design. And so knowing God, not as God, is one thing. Knowing God as my daddy is a whole other different measure. So we're going from a historical fact, the person who gave me life, I have his name, to an intimacy that it is so close that it is the three become one. We become one with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then we have the word knowing. Don't you know? To know. And that word knowing is, have you intimately experienced it? How intimate? Face to face? Eyeball to eyeball? In an embrace? In a kiss? In the most intimate physical expression that we can, that intimate, that's what we're talking about here, to the point that Jesus said, and then the Apostle Paul said, this is a mystery, and that that intimacy is truly a picture of the church.
Yeah.
So are we all, first of all, do we all have God as our Father? I just want to clear that up right off the bat, and probably some religious people will get a little nervous. My answer is yes. Do we all have intimate relationship with Him that expresses and displays His image and likeness in us? No, we don't. Sometimes not even in the church. So what are we? We are children who have been created by God, have been given the breath of God, and God is expressing Himself to His fatherhood, and we're not understanding it, and we're saying, I'm going to do it my way. I want to be my own person. I want to make decisions in my life. I can't wait till I can get out of the house and do that. And that concept is eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and not eating out of the tree of life. And unfortunately, that's the path that most of us take, regardless of denomination or faith or beliefs. A handful of us, some of us will embrace the law and be really good.
Right.
You know, for fear of consequences. That was the case. That was my case. Not because I loved God as my Father. I was angry at God. But there was a very toxic relationship. I loved Jesus.
Sure.
I talked to Jesus and then tell Him what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to face him. I thought he was a terrible God who looked over my shoulder and constantly judged me every moment for everything I did and disapproved of me. Mm. That was my image of God. Well, who wants a father like that?
Right.
And who wants intimacy to a father with a father like that? So whatever concept we have of God, it matters if it's untruth, if it's twisted. And because that's then we go to the concept that we have of our Father. And so we just dread going to Him. But yet, you know, to enjoy Father and to enjoy being a son and daughter. And I'm not talking a little baby, because a little baby kind of automatically enjoys.
Right.
But as the baby grows, there is a little bit more expectation the baby has of the parents.
Yeah.
To enjoy that relationship of that we are one. We are one in thought. We are one in emotions. We are one in ideas. We are one because why? Because we follow the one who's our Father. And so how do we get to know Father? So John 1:18 right away says to us, shocking, no one has seen God. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Adam and Eve didn't see God? What about Isaiah? Goodness gracious, he got a vision of the temple. He says, God is holy. Right? You know, his train filled the temple and I saw the glory. Well, Jesus said, no one has seen God. So what is he saying? No one, I think the word see is no one has a true concept of God. Mm. And so then he says at any time, so regardless of generation, at any time. So now how are we going to get to know God? How are we going to get to know God?
Right.
And you said it earlier, God himself came in the flesh so that we could know him as Father. And so he says the only person that knows God is the only begotten Son. So Jesus is the one that knows God perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, so God becomes flesh in the person of Jesus, and now Jesus is in plain view. He is flesh and blood. He is belongs to a family.
Right.
He is a little boy. He grows. He faces, you know, what he has to face, all the things that children face, you know, grown-ups, and he displays God perfectly. And so Hebrews 1 says that in the olden times, as my grandson often calls me, the olden, is this the olden days? No, when you grew up? Say, yes, it's the olden days, Sam. So it says, so Hebrews 1 says in the olden times, at various times, God spoke through prophets and through our fathers, our church fathers, including, in many different ways. But there came a time,
right,
that he spoke through his son.
Right.
Because, why? Because his son is the only one that knows him intimately, and the expression is who is in the bosom of the Father. So, what is God like? Or, what is my Father like? More intimately than what is God like. Everyone is a son of God. Son and daughters, he birthed us. Whether we follow his example or not, whether we like his agenda or not, whether we behave or not. But the intimacy of being an adult son, that you share the kingdom and the government of God, and you execute it as a son of God, requires knowing the heart of God. It requires intimacy.
Right.
So that's the challenge of every believer. Am I happy to just to know that God created me and Jesus forgave my sins, and when I die I'm going to go to heaven, and that, and I'll go to church and pay my tithe, and that makes me a Christian?
Right.
Am I content with this kind of relationship, which is law-based?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the minimum requirement,
yeah,
so I don't get cursed. But I don't really want to know God. Mm. Not intimately.
Yeah, because to know him is, it's kind of scary when you think about power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. It'll point to some of these things, that to know God, I become like his son. And his son went through a lot of stuff. And so that's difficult. Because I think we want, mm-hmm, Christianity in America, we want it easy, and we actually, mm-hmm, want what we want. We don't necessarily want what
and
he
wants.
And
that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
I'm going to be independent. I want to make my own decisions. I have an idea of what my life should be like. And my idea might be that my life is going to be what I do. That means I can drink as many beers as I want. I can hurt whoever I want. I can steal from wherever I want. I can be totally rude and hurt people's feelings and have no thought for another human being. And if that's what I want, then that's what I want. And nobody's going to tell me what to,
yeah,
do.
And it may not even be those. And those are all listing bad things. It may be,
right,
even stuff that I just live where I want to live. I pursue what I want to pursue. I,
yeah,
do these things that other people may look at and go,
that's great,
you're a good person, and, mm-hmm, you do good things.
Right.
But the problem is, it is that what God wants for me?
And the thing is, the problem is that those things, as good as they appear, they seem to be all good, they will cause death. That's what,
yes,
that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yes.
Cause death. Eventually, as good as they look for a time, they cause death.
Right.
I mean, there's studies done on people who are very, very, very intelligent and just raced, you know, raced to the top in their mid-30s. They're already made millions and known worldwide, written books. And then, you know, by 45, they collapse. And scientists tell us it's because they call it, they have very little emotional intelligence.
Mm.
They have a lot of academic intelligence.
Mm.
Reasoning and analytical. The brain is brilliant. But emotionally, in dealing with life's problems and in dealing with people and the problems that people have with one another, they just totally burn out.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm going to go to Alaska and,
yeah,
get away from it all.
Right.
And, you know, and then here we go then. Can we run away from God?
Right.
Can we find a place where he's,
no,
not there? And the thing is that he wants to be up front and close. He wants to be eye to eye, face to face, embrace. This is who he is.
Yeah.
He is our daddy. And until we make that transition of God being distant and out there, running this whole world, trying to tell me what to do, and, you know, and if I do wrong, he'll punish me, squash me, make my life miserable, to daddy, I am your daughter. I am your beloved daughter.
We need to revisit this again. I think this is a topic that will resonate definitely with people because of the fact that I'm watching around, you watch what's going on, relationships in families. I even look at the latest election and the candidates and how they raise their children or child. People watch that. People care. People want successful
families.
They really do. Mm-hmm. They want their kids to grow up, to love them. Mm-hmm. We don't want you know, our kids to disown us or to not. But it is one of those things where, but are we doing that to our Heavenly Father? Are we wanting the intimacy with our Heavenly Father that we sometimes are desiring even more with our families when our Heavenly Father is waiting?
He's the source. He's the breath that we have.
Yeah.
Without him, we wouldn't have breath. We wouldn't exist as families.
Yeah.
He's truly the father of all families. Ephesians calls him that. Mm. And we can go there. And the thing is, it's not that God needs my love. It's that I need his love in order to function in life.
Well, would you pray for the person that just turned this on? They saw the word father and it resonated with them, and they're hurting right now. Would you pray for that person?
Sure. Father, we thank you that you chose us, and you wanted us, and you birthed us, and you say constantly in your word that we are your workmanship. We are your sons and daughters. We are born from above. We are born anew. We are recreated. We didn't come just from Adam. Adam came from you. He is your son. Eve is your daughter. So, Father, we want so much to know you. And you made it possible for us to know you through Jesus, who became very visible, very human, totally like us, with you living on the inside. And Father, that was your design for us as well. So we know that you are on the inside of us because we have your image and your likeness. So Father, help us to look at Jesus and see you. And then help us to look at one another and see you. And then help us look at ourselves and reflect and see the reflection of who you are, that you are truly a good Father. And that all good things come from you.
Amen.
And that we are not orphaned. We're not without you. Though our earthly fathers have failed us, your love, you, because you are love, never fail.
Mm.
Never fail.
Amen.
And we just take comfort in that, Father. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will embrace every single person that is listening. And that they might feel, maybe for the first time, your love, your compassion, your mercy, and that they may know that you created them, love them, and have a destiny for them, and it's all good.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.